Hello, listeners. This is Jose Hernandez for the Soundstage at kpcradio.com, and I will be your host today as the gatekeep. And today we have a very special guest, Jeff Harriet of Realm Builder, also professor of music at the University of Wisconsin. So we're going to get into that. Tune in, true believers. All right. Hello, this is Jose Hernandez on kpcradio.com, and this is the Soundstage with me, your host, as the gatekeep. Today we have a very special guest, Jeff Harriet, one half of the retro classic neoclassical metal band Realm Builder. And on top of that, he's just got a wide range of musical just talent and repertoire in his catalog. And I want to thank you and welcome you on to the show today, Jeff.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So, I guess we'll just get right into it. You're a professor of music at the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater. And to get there, when did it start for you? You know what I mean? When did the music bug hit?
My mom brought a piano home from a garage sale when I was five, I think, and started giving me lessons. And she was always playing in the house. She sung in the church choir. I played trumpet when I was in elementary school, and then just kind of kept playing piano. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I just liked it and enjoyed playing, practicing, and whatever. And then when I was in high school, I took some more music theory classes. I never thought I was going to go into music as a career. I just kind of kept taking music classes because I liked it, and I was going to be a music minor, and then I ended up being a music major, and just kind of stuck with it. I was always interested in writing music. Even when I was in junior high, I wrote some sort of piece, like a sonatina, which if you play the piano as a kid, you probably know what those were. In these little pieces that I was kind of imitating some of the stuff that I was writing. And then the piece that really changed my impression on music was Igor Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, which is 100 years old now. But when I heard that in high school, I was kind of like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that with music. And then I was playing in bands in high school and playing in bands in college. But it wasn't until after I graduated college and I had a job doing I was working in retirement planning for a division of New York Life. I was selling mutual funds, essentially, not exactly, but sort of. And I was like, what is this? You know, what am I doing with my life? So I went back to music school and stayed in music school for a long time, and then ended up as a professor.
Wow. That's so cool, man. So it's like music literally dictated who you became, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I just loved to do it, and so I just kept doing it. I didn't have a plan in mind. Even when I was in graduate school, I didn't have a plan in mind. I was never really a goal-oriented person, and I'm still not a goal-oriented person. I'm kind of a process-based person. I think you should just sort of do things you like to do and do them well and try to find ways to do them. And that kind of led me to writing music, which then ended up with a job as a professor teaching music composition. But that was never my goal. I just want, if I was doing something else, I would be writing music. Even when I was in that short period of time where I was doing retirement planning and selling mutual funds, I was writing music on the side, and I did some film score for a friend of mine who was a film student, and I was trying to do other stuff like that. And if I'd have stayed in, and if I wasn't doing music as a teaching as a job, I probably would be playing in bands and writing and kind of like Craig is. I mean, Craig is not a musician by my partner in Realm Builder. He isn't making a lot of money as a musician. He makes his living as a writer. But he was playing in bands, other bands in New York, and we were always doing music together when we were kids. And so he does it, just because he loves to do it. Just also happens to be the way I make
this
money.
This song that we're gonna get into by Realm Builder is off of the Summon the Stone Throwers album, which was released again by I Hate Records in 2009. And the song that we're going to get into from the album is Summon the Stone Throwers. And check it out, guys. It's just phenomenal metal music. You're not gonna get lyricism like this. It's out there. You know what I mean? You guys gotta check this out. And we're gonna get into the song right now. delve into Realm Builder a bit
Sure.
and talk about that and your musical influences going into making Realm Builder. What and then I'll have more questions to follow up, but let's
Sure.
start with
Sure.
that one.
Well, as I said, Craig and I, Craig, we're the two main guys in Realm Builder. There's a third guy who plays with us and recorded on all our albums. But Craig and I are the main two guys, and we write everything together. And we've known each other since junior high in Miami. We were debate partners. We just got put together as debate partners in this debate class. And we always just loved music. So when we would get together and do stuff, it was always around music. And even in high school, I remember we used to listen to Iron Maiden in high school. This is the 1980s. And we were listening to Maiden, and we thought Maiden was the greatest thing ever. And he used to send me these quizzes in Spanish class where there'd be like quizzes about Iron Maiden albums, like which is the best guitar solo, and then he would list three of the fours, and then like which of these covers is the has the most whatever influence of this. And then what was funny is he would grade them, and I would usually do really badly even though I knew all this music. So I would get like C's and D's on these ridiculous quizzes about Iron Maiden. But we were listening to a lot of that in high school and making movies and stuff, because he was already into making movies back then too, using music for soundtracks, and we just listened all the time, And when we went off to college, I was playing in bands, and he wasn't doing that so much at the time because he was at film school in New York. But it was really, we started playing together again. I was living in Buffalo in the late 90s, and he was in New York City. And he was playing in some bands, but he couldn't find anyone he really wanted to play with. And so he said to me, "All right, forget it. You and I are going to be in a band." And I was like, "Well, I live in Buffalo." And he said, "That's all right. We'll figure it out." So he would come up to Buffalo, and we would record up there. We recorded. We had a band called Wombat, and we would record. We recorded just when we had the chance. We'd get together, and we would write, and we'd record, and then I would sort of mix it in post-production, put it together, and we just kind of kept doing it. And the Wombat was a kind of a thrashier project where I was doing the singing, and the riffs were faster and more. I mean, it was a little bit more like coming off, as I said, thrash. He played in another band. I forget the name of it now because I'm terrible with names. But that was another thrash project with a guy named John in Monsey's in New York. That's a pretty cool project. And so we were doing just more of that kind of music at the time, and then it shifted into we were listening to, in the early 2000s, we were listening to Minotauri and Reverend Bizarre and still Manila Road and some of these kinds of things. And it was like, and Doomsword was a band that was putting out stuff then that was awesome. We were kind of like, "Hey, let's do another project where Craig sings instead, and then just do sort of slower." And Iron Sword was an influence too, if you don't know if you know Iron Sword, but Iron Sword was kind of like, "Let's do something that's a little bit more fantastical in the lyrical content and slower and doomier." And so we kind of just shifted from doing Wombat, that was this aggressive stuff, and switched into Realm Builder, that was just more patient. And as I said, influenced by Minotauri and Realm Builder. No, we're not influenced by ourselves. Reverend Bizarre and as well as bands like Manila Road, certainly, and other, sort of classic 80s sound.
Yeah, and the name, the is there like a deep significance to it, or is it just a play on the context that you guys provide?
Craig is a writer, and I think his writing is excellent. I mean, his novels are excellent. His movie that just came out last year, I think, is great. He's written a bunch of scripts that are good, and he writes all our lyrics. And he had the idea of, let's build, he wants to, he's always kind of been interested in creating environments and creating imaginary spaces. The way he thinks about writing, he talks about himself as a novelist and as a screenwriter. His goal is to surprise himself. And so he sets out to write things and to surprise himself and create images and ideas that you haven't heard before. So the idea of building realms, was something that he came up with. That's the name of his production company now too, actually, that is Realm Builder. And in fact, whenever he writes checks, it says Realm Builder Productions on the bottom, which I think is pretty hysterical.
Wow, that's so cool, man. Yeah, 'cause I see it completely in all the lyrics. It's reminiscent of like lore of ancient times. It almost has a Lovecraftian feel to it, you know?
Certainly, and that's Lovecraft's great, and I would say Clark Ashton Smith is another influence in terms of the. I can't remember. I think he might have listed some of these characters as influences on our first album, like in the thanks list. But I remember at some point thanking Clark Ashton Smith. Maybe it was just amongst ourselves. But other novelists, other pulp writers from the early part of the 20th century, Algernon Blackwood and Lovecraft, and they just evoke this sense of wonder. That's something that's influential, that I try to do in all the music that I create is have some sort of sense of wonder, and that certainly is in Realm Builder's lyrics.
Yeah, no, definitely, because it leaves you wondering, like you're like, did I miss something? Where in history did this happen? You know what I mean? I was like, I remember the first time I heard the album track for track, Summon the Stone Throwers. I was blown away. You know, it never heard anything like it before. And for all my listeners, I want you guys to go out there and check out some Realm Builder. Either album is phenomenal. You know what I mean? Track for track. And it's hard to say that for most acts nowadays. You know what I mean? The next song that we're going to get into by Realm Builder is off of the Fortifications of the Pale Architect album, which was released in 2011 on I Hate Records. Shout out to I Hate Records out there in Sweden. You know, great metal label. You guys got to go check them out. IHateRecords.com. And the name of the song off of the album Fortifications of the Pale Architect by Realm Builder that we're going to go into is Highwayman. The name of the song, Highwayman.
Thank you. Our first time with Craig as the singer, we weren't sure how he would, you know, he's sung but not in bands before. We didn't know what he was going to sound like, and we didn't know what the project was going to be until we got together and started working on stuff, and we had ideas, but we had so much fun in the studio. Just as, and the thing about Craig as a writer that I think is kind of a, you know, I've witnessed it a few times, not only in our own project, but he was in a band called Charnel Valley. And I recorded one of their albums. I flew to Michigan where he was recording with Worm, Marty Rickinen, and they were doing this Toronto Valley project. And Craig was literally writing lyrics and handing them to Marty, and Marty was singing them in real time. I was watching him write these lyrics, and I've seen him do it where he writes so much, and he's so creative as a lyricist that he can just write them and spit them out. I mean, he has ideas and concepts in mind, but I've used him before. In fact, you know, in my other work as a music professor, I do classical pieces, chamber music. And Craig has helped me write titles in the past for some of my pieces, where I'll tell him a concept that I'm thinking about musically, and then he'll just spit ideas at me, and they're invariably lots of good ones that I take. So it's a ton of fun to work with him in the studio because he's just so creative with the lyrics, and some of them are hysterical and we break down laughing, and then some of them are really good.
Yeah. I wanted to venture off into some of your side projects.
Sure.
Because I noticed that in one of your groups you play around using patchwork may have been created in Max MSP for Jitter, am I correct?
Yes, well, so one of the projects I'm involved in is, I mean, I mentioned I write a lot of classical music, and a lot of it is really more experimental. I'm in this group called Skewed and Such, which is a duo with a percussionist, and that's usually glockenspiel and electronics. The glockenspiel is like, you know, a vibraphone or a xylophone, but really high pitches with metal bars.
Yeah.
And so I do live processing where he plays sounds in the glockenspiel, and then I capture on the computer, and then I make essentially, so it's like making up your own guitar pedals, but in a computer, but you have complete control over what happens with the guitar pedal.
Yeah.
That's the way I guess I would think about it. But yeah, Max is a program that that I've been using, that I learned when I was in graduate school. And I studied with a guy who kind of helped make a lot of the original patches for that program. And so I've been using it for 15 years to do live processing. And that's a group called Skewed and Such. We're working on a project now for found percussion instruments that we like went to the dump and found pipes and bowls and stuff like that, and we're turning it into a stage full of metals that we hit.
That's cool. A little joke, you guys are gonna go play the Autobahn?
Yeah. no.
Oh man, but no, that's for all my listeners out there, Max MSP for Jitter is an amazing software, which for lack of a better description, it allows you to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's the most general, plain Jane description that you can possibly
do. Both in audio and in visuals. I mean, the Jitter part of it is the visual end, and you can do all kinds of live video processing. You know, VJs and use this stuff, and in some cases, and actually, if anyone's used the program Ableton Live, it's used by a lot, like that's – Max connects to Live, and essentially you can put in, you can make your own objects in Max that then you can use in Live. So,
Yeah, it's a program that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. You know, I found out about it recently, and when I saw that you were working with it, I was just amazed, because I always like anybody that's touching that stuff, because I feel that it's the forefront of just multimedia faceting. You know what I mean? Like being able to just push everything to the boundaries with technology, you know.
That's true. And you really, as you said, you can do anything you want as long as you can conceive of it, you know. And there are lots of presets that you can pull in and do stuff, but unlike a lot of, you know, like I was saying, you can build your own guitar pedal. If you get a distortion pedal, there's like three parameters that you can change, you know, how much gain, how much drive, whatever. You can, this, you can just imagine making anything you want and put it in the same little object. But you also have to know how to work it, you know? Yeah. So it's tricky.
Yeah, man. That's so cool. And where did you study at?
This was I started learning that when I was in Miami. I was a graduate student at Florida International University, and then I went to SUNY Buffalo, which is, you know, Buffalo, University of Buffalo. I studied with a guy named Court Lippe, and Court was he's kind of one of the pioneers of electronic music, live interactive electronic music. He was at a studio in Paris called Earcom, where a lot of this stuff was created. And so when I was studying with him 15 years ago, it was like when it was first switching over from being stuff that was only in research centers like at Earcom to being at universities. And then it became more of a commercial software in the last 5 to 7 years. And partially I mentioned that connection with Ableton Live, because Ableton Live was used by a lot of people. Max wasn't used by that many people outside the university community, but this connection between Live and Max has made it so that a lot more people are using Max now.
Which is great. It's opened up the floodgates, man. I've seen some amazing stuff made with this program and this software, whether it was audio, visual, or the combination of either or, you know. And it's just amazing to see musicians from different walks of life take this program and then just essentially do what they will with it, you know.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to see how it's changed from being something that was only used it specialized people to being used by anybody who will, because it's just much more accessible now, and people are doing amazing stuff with it. You're correct.
Is there anywhere where people can go online and, you know, find more information about you or listen to some more music? Or
sure. Yeah, people can go to jeffherriott.com, jeffherriott.com, and see all the stuff I'm involved in. You know, as I said, a lot of it is this sort of chamber music that I write with electronics. You mentioned Skewed and Such, obviously Realm Builder is something. I worked on a movie score last year with Craig, because he wrote The Bone Tomahawk, this Kurt Russell movie, and we did the score to that. And then I'm in another band called Bell Monks, which is all, but it's all, you can find all of it through jeffherriott.com.
And I guess we'll wrap it up. And I want to thank you for coming on air with me and sharing your story, talking about yourself, talking about Realm Builder. I want all my listeners to, you know, listen to the lyrics, listen to the recording. It's just a sound that you're not going to get anywhere else. It takes you to a fantastical place, and it brings back just the core essence of, like, retro classical metal, but it gives it a fantastic twist with the storytelling in the lyricism. And I want to thank you, Jeff. Thank you for coming on.
And thank you, my friend. Blow the ancient horn.
Yeah, blow the ancient horn, everybody. Summon the stone throwers.
All right, cheers, man.
Cheers.
And now we're going to go into a track by Realm Builder. It's called Blue Flame Cavalry, and it's off of their EP, LP, released by I Hate Records in 2013, re-released 2015. And it's a phenomenal song. So let's get into it, everybody. We'll be right back.
burning arrow climbs. Heads of Steve Bentlow. We'll be right back.
This has been Jose Hernandez for KPCRadio.com, where we're trying to expand our definition of sound and music by, you know, exploring different avenues of sound, sharing music, listening to the stories of our guests, and trying to expand our definition of sound and music. And I want to thank you, true believers, for tuning in. I want to thank my guest today. And until next time.